OU Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Yitro, the one that contains the beginning of the story of Revelation at Sinai, Ma'amad Har Sinai, Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah. It's an exciting sedra. Recording and first broadcast of this show is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 17th of Shvat, 5768, the 24th of January. Actually, part of the show was recorded yesterday, late last night, when I spoke to a few of the late night folders about a topic that I have discussed more than once, and that's the controversy as to whether it's proper to stand for the Torah reading of Aseret HaDibrot, but there are certain principles that will come out of that discussion, which I hope will be beneficial to the listeners. And then we'll talk about other things related to the Parsha. But first, Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehiyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmoria Adonai mi'ya'amod. Ki imacha haslicha lema'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mi kol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzarau vashivya. Ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, v'nomar amen.
Kol Beis Yisroel, Kol Beis Yisroel, Hanesim Batzoro Uvashivyo, Acheinu Kol Beis Yisroel, Acheinu Acheinu Kol Beis Yisroel. Kol Beis Yisroel, Ha'oyvim bein bayom uvein bayabosho, Acheinu Kol Beis Yisroel. Habokoyim yirachem aleihem, v'yoytziei mitzoro li yirvocho. Feilo leoiro yumi shivuli geyula amokoyim yirachim yirachim aleihem v'yoytziei mitzoro li yirvocho umei afeilo leoiro yumi shivuli. Oh,
Ruachinu kol beis Yisroel. Kol beis Yisroel. Hanesumim batzoro yumashib yo. Achinu kol beis Yisroel. Achinu kol beis Yisroel. Kol beis Yisroel. Ha'oinim bein bayom ubein bayam hosho. Acheinu mikol beis Yisroel. Lamokoyim yirachim aleihem. Liyoyziyei mitzoro li yirvokho.
It really touches on a much bigger issue. You have the Aseret HaDibrot in this week's Sedra. Let me not start you at the beginning, but bring you right into it. Once in a while, I will see everybody in shul standing, except one person who is adamantly sitting for the reading of the Aseret HaDibrot, because he learned that it is halachically objectionable to single out the Aseret HaDibrot for that kind of honor. However, the most outspoken opponent of the custom of standing for Kriyat HaTorah of Aseret HaDibrot in our time, I believe, is Rav Avadya Yosef, who is violent and vicious against the custom of standing. And yet, he says, one still cannot be a Yoshev Bein Ha'omdim, a sitter among standers. He says it's wrong to stand, but it's wrong to be the one person who's sitting. And I've tried to tell that to people, and they don't want to hear it, because they heard what Rav Avadya Yosef said, and they didn't read the whole tshuva. So now let's go back a step. The Aseret HaDibrot the Ten Commandments a unique portion of the Torah in that it was what God spoke to the people of Israel at Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu stayed on Mount Sinai for an additional 40 days and 40 nights, during which time he learned the rest of the Torah. So on the one hand, the Ten Commandments, as it says clearly in the text of Parshat Yitro, are unique and special among the rest of the Torah. However, people went too far with it. there was a school of thought that the sum total of God's revelation at Sinai was Aseret HaDibrot, and all the rest Moshe came up with on his own. In order to nip that idea in the bud, as they say, there has been throughout Jewish history different measures that were taken to debunk that idea. For example, it was rejected to incorporate the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, into the daily davening. If you think about it, Shema Yisrael is in the daily davening. Of course, it's there because we have a mitzvah to recite Shema twice a day. Oz Yashir, the Song of the Sea, is in the daily davening. And there was a suggestion, a reasonable suggestion, that we should incorporate the Aseret HaDibrot into the daily davening. It was rejected some point in history, quote, so as not to open the mouths of the scoffer, of the apostate, who says, you see, I told you this is what God gave at Sinai. So there was an attempt in response to this overemphasis on the Aseret HaDibrot to de-emphasize. There was a period in Jewish history where the Luchot, the two tablets, were not allowed to be used by a band, by a rabbinic band, in synagogue decoration. A Sefer Torah, yes, but not the Luchot. Because of that same idea, it gives the person who's willing to say that an opening to say it. You see, I told you, look at that. On top of the Oron Kodesh are the Ten Commandments. And when I, in a Parsha Pix, in Torah Tidbits, portray the Aseret HaDibrot, I have them superimposed on a full Sefer Torah because of the statement and the idea that all of Torah came from God at Sinai. So too was there a move not to single it out by standing for its reading. Now I, since the age of 12, have been standing for Torah reading till this very day. I actually wonder what will happen when it gets physically too difficult for me to do, and at that time I'll have to be matir neder and then be allowed to sit. I can tell you that for the last, all of those years, since I'm 12, there was one occasion where I sat for Torah reading, and that was because I was holding the second Torah sitting on the bima. So that's okay, that's not a problem, and that doesn't violate the custom of standing. Now, let's, for a moment, we'll come back to this business of standing, but let's go to this other issue. Let me put it like this. If you open up a Chumash, in many editions, you will find the number of psukim, of verses, at the end of each sedra, in the Hebrew letters. For Yitro, it says Ayin Bet, which is 72. If you count the psukim in Yitro, you come to 75. Where do the other three psukim come from? I suspect, more than suspect, that the Aseret HaDibrot are composed of 13 psukim, 13 verses. If you read the Ten Commandments portion, not as psukim, but as commandments, you only have 10. And there's the three that bring you down to 72. And it's a legitimate way of reading it. But what it does is single out the Aseret HaDibrot for special attention, which is good if it doesn't get out of hand. And the point is, it got out of hand. Now we come to the standard issue here. The Ten Commandments portion is the only part of the Torah, both in Yitro and in Vayet Hanan, that carries with it two sets of trup, two sets of Torah notes. As Yisrael pointed out, they are called Ta'amei HaElyon and Ta'amei HaTachton. Some Chumashim confuse people by putting them both on the Psukim in the same text, and it makes it very hard to read it either way.
You mean they print it that way?
They print it with two sets of notes. Others will print it with one set, and at the end of the Sedra, or at the end of the book of Shemot, you will have the other set. Now, just to give you two contrasting examples. Commandment number 4 about Shabbat is made up of 4 verses. Zohar et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho 1. Sheshet Yamin Ta'avod V'yasita Kol Melachtecha 2. V'yom HaShavi'i Shabbat LaDonai Elohecha Lo Ta'aseh Chol Melacha Ata uvincha uvitecha, avdecha va'amasecha uvehemtecha, v'gerecha asher bisharecha. 3. Ki sheishet yamim asa Adonai et hashamayim v'et haaretz, et hayom v'et kol asher bam, v'yanach b'yom hashvi'i, al kein beirach Adonai et Yom HaShabbat Vayikadshehu. 4 verses. When you read them like that, which is called Ta'amei HaTachton, they are read like every other portion of the Torah, as the regular Torah reading. When you read them in Ta'amei HaElyon, in the upper set of notes, all 4 psukim blend into one, because you're not reading verses, you're reading commandments. Zachar et Yom HaShabbat LeKadoshu Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod V'yasita Kol Melachtecha V'yom HaShavi'i Shabbat LaAdonai Elohecha Lo Ta'aseh Chol Melacha. It's not only reading them as one commandment, it's also fancier sounding notes. Lo ta'aseh chol melacha, ata uvincha uvitecha, avdecha v'amasecha, uvhemtecha, v'geirecha asher b'sharecha, ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, et hashamayim v'et haaretz, et hayom v'et kol asher bam, v'yonach b'yom hashvi, al kein beirach Adonai, et Yom HaShabbat Vayikadoshehu. The custom is to give it a little flourish, meaning not psukim like the rest of the Torah, but a drum roll, a virtual drum roll, to highlight it. Listen now to 4 of the commandments. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo tanev reyacha eid shaker. That was commandment number 6, 7, 8, and 9, read in a single pasuk, because that's what they are. As opposed to, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo tanev reyacha, ein shaker. Again, a fancy way of doing it. Now, the whole world, meaning the Jewish world who reads Torah, always read the Aseret HaDibrot in the fancier commandment way called Ta'amei HaElyon, because our sources say when you read it in public, that's how you read it. If you read it in private, which means on a Friday night before Parshat Yitro, that you're going over the Sedra, you would read it in the Ta'amei HaTachton. The Vilna Gaon has a minhag, which is followed by what's known as Minhag Yerushalayim, and that is to read it as Ta'amei HaTachton, the verse-by-verse method of reading, the not different from any other part of the Torah method of reading, when it's Parshat Yitro or Parshat Vo'etchanan. When it's Shavuot morning, and we are purposely taking this Torah reading because we're celebrating and commemorating Matan Torah, only then do they read it in a fancier way. Personally, that custom appeals to me. I also follow a lot of Minhag Yerushalayim anyway, but it appeals to me because you get both. You get looking at them as regular psukim like the rest of Torah, and when do you do that? When it falls in the weekly seder. This week is Parshat Yitro. Last week was Beshalach. Next week will be Mishpatim. and the psukim should be read as regular psukim, especially if you want to avoid people making too much of it. You know, there are people who will say, both Jews and non-Jews, well, I'm not that religious, I only keep the Ten Commandments. You know, which of course is silly, because does that mean they keep Shabbat the way you're supposed to? All right, maybe not, maybe nine commandments, you know. And then you mention another thing, and then the number gets cut down. But the drum roll drama of reading the Ten Commandments as dibrot, as commandments, to me is very appropriate for Shavuot morning, and less appropriate for this week of Parshat Yitro. Now let's go back to the standing and sitting. These are partner issues, but they're not always spoken of together. You have ways to avoid singling it out. I told you my way. I stand for all of Torah reading. If I stand for all of Torah reading, I'm standing for Aseret HaDibrot, and I'm standing for everything else. There are people who say, all right, you know what? I will get up at the beginning of the Aliyah that contains the Aseret HaDibrot, and I'll remain standing during that Aliyah. This way, you can't accuse me of standing only for the Aseret HaDibrot, and they get away with it that way. But there are others who are adamantly opposed to standing. Now, I mentioned that Rav Avadya Yosef, in his responsum on this issue, is very, very strong against the practice of standing. No, the responsa is a plural. Responsum is the singular. It's one responsum, many responsa. If you doubt that, I shall show it to you in print. Not that that's the most important thing. No. Data, plural or singular.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It's a similar kind of word. Anyway, Rav Avadya Yosef seems one-directional in his approach. The only let-up he has is if you happen to be davening, unfortunately, in a shul where everybody stands, then try to stand inconspicuously, the whole laning or whatever, just so that you shouldn't single it out. We will continue with more of this recorded shiur to the folders last night in a moment. I'd just like to follow up on my personal story from last week when I announced the birth of a grandson. And yesterday morning was the Brit, B'Sha'a Tova, and the baby's name is Nave Menachem Shalom. A mouthful for a little kid, but he'll grow into it.
Show me your love, who you're going to be.
That was the Shabbat de Zmira Yom Shabbaton, or Yom Shabboson, by Shalhevet, I believe, and besides it being an appropriate Shabbat song to play on the show, it has a couple of references to this week's Parsha specifically. You have, for example, Hayom Nichbad Livnei Emunim, this day is special and honored to those of faith, Zehirim Lishomro Avot Ubanim, parents and children are both cautioned to preserve the Shabbat, Chakuk Bishnei Luchot Avanim, it was inscribed, engraved on two tablets of stone, later, Uva'u chulam bivrit yachad, we all came in under one covenant, meaning Ma'amad Har Sinai, Na'ase v'nishma omru ke'echad, Na'ase v'nishma, those are the two words with which the children of Israel accepted the Torah, we will do and we will understand, they said as one. That's another reference. Then the next stanza, Diber b'kodsho b'har hamor, it was spoken on that holy mountain, Yom HaShvi'i Zachor V'Shamor. The seventh day, meaning Shabbat, shall be remembered and preserved. So you have several references in this one Shabbat song that are particularly appropriate for Shabbat Parshat Yitro, as they would be for Shabbat Parshat Vo'etchanan. Okay, let's pick up the thread that we started in the first half of the show. We're about to wrap up the idea with the tshuva, the responsum of Rabbi Chaim David Halevi. When Rav Chaim David Halevi was asked the same question, he was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv Yafo, also a Sfardi, like Rav Avadia Yosef. He had a very different approach. His conclusion was the same. You should not single out the Aseret HaDibrot for standing. But his first paragraph on his answer is, we're dealing here with a time-honored custom of standing, which goes back many, many hundreds of years, and not only ignorant Jews would stand for Torah reading, but venerable rabbis and Talmidei Chachamim, and you can't just wave them away and dismiss them as having done the wrong thing. Furthermore, he says, because there is something special about the Aseret HaDibrot. The Aseret HaDibrot was the down payment on the Torah. God says, I'm giving you the Torah. I will teach Moshe Rabbeinu the rest of the Torah, but at this moment, when you are listening at Har Sinai, you will hear the Aseret HaDibrot. So they're definitely special. And if it wasn't for those people who took it too far, I don't think we'd have a problem standing just for the Aseret HaDibrot. It deserves it, but not at the expense of putting down the rest of the Torah and saying, here, my proof. Aseret HaDibrot, given at Sinai to the ears of the people, written down on stone. The rest of the Torah wasn't written down on stone. It was taught orally to the people. And people stand when they read it. Obviously, it's different. We want to downplay that, so you don't. You stand for everything, or you sit for everything. Now, one second. Chaim David Halevi's conclusion is, if you will ask me and tell me you are a congregation that is just starting now, that you have no existing shul customs, that you are all balei tshuva, so you don't have customs from your parents, or you're all converts to Judaism, so you have no existing custom, and you would ask me what you should do, I would say remain seated during the Aseret HaDibrot. But if you have an existing custom in your shul, then you don't dismiss it right off the bat. You get out of it the other way, by standing more. Some actually write that since the rabbi of the shul used to get the aliyah for the Aseret HaDibrot, when he's called to the Torah, you stand up as a sign of respect for him. Now you remain standing. So I'm not standing for the Aseret HaDibrot. I am remaining standing until he finishes the aliyah and he comes down. So that's how it was gotten. Now let's take a look at something, I believe, more substantial than sitting and standing, putting it into the daily prayer, or not putting it into the daily prayer. the nature of the Aseret HaDibrot themselves. What does Lo Tignov mean? Translation, thou shalt not steal. Does that mean you don't break into someone's home when they're away on vacation and take things from them? Okay. The Sefer HaChinuch and others say that Lo Tignov in the Aseret HaDibrot is the prohibition of kidnapping, stealing a person. And the reason they say it is because regular stealing is never a capital offense. Can't be executed for stealing. But you look at the Aseret HaDibrot and you have murder and adultery, which are both capital offenses, and Lo Tignov, which in the case of kidnapping and selling into slavery the person you kidnap, is a capital offense. And bearing false witness is possible to be a capital offense as well, then it belongs in the Big Ten. Now, if Lo Tignov is the prohibition of kidnapping, and Lo Tignovu in next week's Sedra is the prohibition of stealing, and Lo Tigzol is the prohibition of robbing, and Lo Ta'ashok is the prohibition of cheating someone in business, and Lo Tasig Gevul Reyecha is the prohibition of encroaching on the boundary marker of somebody, then these are all examples of things which are theft, in one way or another, but it puts the Aseret HaDibrot like the rest of the Torah. It mentioned, you know, that time it uses Lo Tignov, it had this meaning. The other time it says it had a different meaning, so it's regular. But there's another way of looking at Lo Tignov, of the Aseret HaDibrot, and that is, as the chapter heading...
Oh, don't take my... Oh, okay.
As the chapter heading of theft. In other words, two ways to look at Aseret HaDibrot. Lo Tignov, I'm just using that as an example, is one of the 613 mitzvot, prohibitions. Lo Tignov is also a chapter heading which includes 20 different commandments. Because under the heading of theft, you have close to 20 different prohibitions in the Torah that are all tantamount to stealing. Mm-hmm. When the Torah says...
Stealing things.
Anything. When the Torah says that you can't ignore a lost object, but you have to attempt to return it to its owner, the implication is, if you don't do that, it's a form of stealing. So you say, what do you mean? I'm not stealing. I didn't go into his possession. He left it on the park bench. But because he left an identifiable object on the park bench, I have an obligation to get involved and to post on a bulletin board, found a digital camera on a park bench on such and such a date. If you identify it, I will return it to you. So you've got different ways of looking at the content of the Aseret HaDibrot. Chapter headings, which gives it a significance beyond regular psukim in the Torah, or as specific commands, which puts it in the category of other psukim. And it's both. One should not be negated, but the other one shouldn't be emphasized either. So, whether you will sit or stand with everybody else for the Torah reading of Aseret HaDibrot, let's take a look at the Aseret HaDibrot. I like to play numbers, which helps also de-emphasize the special quality of the Ten Commandments. They're made up, as I mentioned earlier, of 13 verses. Interestingly, they contain 14 mitzvot. Now, if you translate mitzvah as command, and you translate Aseret HaDibrot as Ten Commandments, then it comes out to a kind of confusing statement that the Ten Commandments are 14 commandments. If you look at the word Dibrot, Dibur, or however the singular is, it's really a statement, a saying by God, and mitzvot, I don't know if that translates well as commandments, but the fact of the matter is that out of the 613 commandments in the Torah, 14 of them, really 15, I'll explain why in a moment, but 14 of them are contained within that portion which we call the Ten Commandments. If we follow Rambam, or the author of Sefer HaChinuch and others, then they break down like this. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, is the command to believe in God. Lo yihielecha, there shall not be any other gods before me, is the prohibition of idolatry, of believing in any other gods. That second commandment contains three other commandments. We're not allowed to bow or worship two separate idolatry, nor make idols for idol worship. So even though we categorize it as one commandment, it really has four mitzvot. That's three more than the ten. So all we need is one more. That'll be a double, which we'll come to shortly. The third command, not taking God's name in vain. That is a prohibition in the Torah. The fourth command contains the positive commandment to remember the Sabbath day and sanctify it. Definition, the reciting of Kiddush on Friday night, and Havdalah on Motzoi Shabbat. The definition being, acknowledge and honor the Shabbat with words as it enters and as it leaves. In addition to the positive command of remembering Shabbat, we have the prohibition against doing any manner of melacha, any manner of the labors that are forbidden on Shabbat. The 39 categories, the countless subdivisions of those categories, and the myriad of rabbinic law that goes along with it. Let me take this commandment and basically make a statement which applies to all areas of Jewish law. If the Shabbat day is a day of rest, do not think that the Torah commands us and leaves it vague enough that we should define what we mean by a day of rest. Let's say a person has a job, and he works hard 5, even 6 days a week, and he does not go to work on Shabbat. Good. Shabbat is his day of rest. Good. And he gets up in the morning, and he turns on the radio. Not good. He is violating the Shabbat. What do you mean, violating the Shabbat? This is my day of rest. I'm relaxing. I'm not going to work. Look, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm still in my jammies. And all I did was turn on the radio. And all I did was flip the switch on the coffee percolator to have a fresh brew on my day of rest. That is not, in the traditional Jewish way of looking at things, observing Shabbat. It is not proper resting on Shabbat. The resting on Shabbat that's physical, meaning taking a nap, putting your feet up and reading a book, isn't even part of the Torah's command of Shabbat. It fits into the rabbinic concepts which come from a verse in the book of Isaiah, which is that Shabbat should be a day of enjoyment and a day to honor, and one of the ways of enjoying it we have is relaxing. But relaxing must be within the guidelines of Jewish law in order for it to constitute proper keeping of the Shabbat and observance of the Shabbat. There are details of the halakha, of the law of Shabbat. There are concepts and the spirit of Shabbat. There is a way that a person could behave on Shabbat which maybe isn't a technical violation of any of the prohibitions, but is still not behaving in a proper way on Shabbat. I'm saying more than that. It's not up to each of us to define what Shabbat is. And I will also add, since this show was listened to by Jews as well as non-Jews, that what I'm saying now is the Jewish definition. As far as the non-Jews are concerned, they are not bound by the Torah's prohibitions of Shabbat activity, and however they want to relax on a Sabbath day is not a problem as far as the Torah is concerned, because the laws of Shabbat were given to the Jewish people. If other religions and other cultures also have a Sabbath and also have a day of rest, it is very unlikely that the activity on that day will conform to every last detail of halacha, which is good because it's not supposed to. It becomes then an idea. But as far as the Jew is concerned, and when I say Jew, I don't mean the religious Jew, I don't mean the Orthodox Jew, I don't mean any specific subcategory of Jew, I mean every single Jew in the world, whatever he labels himself as, is obligated on the proper keeping of Shabbat. Many people don't. Many people say, driving a car is not hard work, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it is it involves the kindling of fire, which is a prohibition, and it doesn't matter how much or how little work there is involved in it. It's a creative activity which we abstain from on Shabbat in fulfillment of the Torah's command in order to pay homage to God as the creator of the world. He created the world. He told us to rest on Shabbat, and he gave guidelines as to what activities and behaviors are permitted and not permitted. And the rabbis fleshed out that whole idea. Divergent streams of Judaism and different other religions can redefine any part of the Torah, and they do, unfortunately. It doesn't change the basic Torah view of those words. And if there is anyone listening who says, who's Phil Chernofsky to say this? My rabbi, my teacher, says that I could do this on Shabbat and I can't do that on Shabbat, or I don't have any prohibitions and I could do whatever I want as long as I have the spirit of Shabbat. Phil Chernofsky is an observant Torah Jew, or at least he tries to be in all areas of Torah conduct, which means everything. And that's the way it is. Does Torah true Judaism recognize other ways of looking at the traditional things? I would say the answer has to be no. There are no two ways of looking at the striking of a match to produce fire. This image that people have in their minds of primitive people rubbing sticks together until their arms are tired with sweat pouring down their brow and say, you see, that is Shabbat labor, which is forbidden. But the flicking of a cigarette lighter or the striking of a match, big deal. There's nothing to it, so it shouldn't be prohibited. Wrong. The flicking of a light switch. What's easier to do than that? Why should that be considered a melacha on Shabbat? The answer is, it is a melacha on Shabbat. And there are no two ways of looking at that. We really didn't get even through half of the Aseret HaDibrot. We'll have to touch them some other time. This week's Sedra is special, but all Sedras are special. And therefore, I just finish up by wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Have a meaningful experience when you review this week's Sedra. And know that there's a lot more to Judaism than just the words of the written Torah. I make that point over and over again, and I do it now as well. Lehishtameah.